Lekutei Sichas Chelek Chabez Parsha Bahar Sicha Beis. In heintige Seder sagt der Teure, in this week's Seder the Teure says, as a Eid was hat sich verkauft als ein Eved zu a zweiten Eden. If a Jew sold himself into slavery to another Jew, is wenn es kommt Shnasa Yevu, when the Jubilee year comes, every 50th year is a Jubilee year, v'yotze me'imcha hu uvanavimei, and he shall leave from you, from the owner, from the person that bought him as a slave, he and his sons along with him. So Rashi quotes the words from the pasuk, he and his sons with him. When his mefarish explains, Amar Rav Shimon said, im hu nimkar, if he was sold, bonav mimachram, who sold his sons into slavery? He was sold into slavery. What about his sons? So why does it say they have to leave with him? They weren't even sold to begin with. Elamikan, so from here we learn, Sherabe Chayv b'mezonos bonav, that the master of the slave is also obligated to feed the children, the sons of the slave himself. And so then when the slave leaves, so they also, he no longer is responsible for them either. Daf v'fashtein, so we have to understand. The shayla in pasuk is doch blois bonav mimachram. The real question here is, who sold his sons into slavery? What are the sons being doing here? Why are they mentioned in this pasuk? That's really the question. So why does Rashi preface that by saying, if he was sold, who sold his sons into slavery? If he was sold, we know. All he should have said was, who sold his sons into slavery? And even though it's true, Adas is the Loshim Fun Rav Shimon, that this is how Rav Shimon put it. So therefore, perhaps Rashi is just quoting Rav Shimon, but that it can't be. Is Oba Vigaret Kamapam, because as was discussed many times, Nishin Yonif Rashi Mepirush Al Torah, Rashi in his commentary in the Torah does not commonly Matig Zain Droshes Razal Belushainim. He doesn't necessarily quote things that the sages said in the exact same way that they said it. He says only that which is pertinent to Pshudush Mikra, to what he's trying to explain. So he doesn't just simply always quote them the way they said it. So why does he have to quote it here? And the Fad is oft mo mishana, the Fad is there oft mo mishana, therefore often he changes the wording that they used, Upshita Mashmit Makatzer, and certainly that he would leave out certain parts or be more brief than the original quote that he's quoting from Loshon Hazal. Behesem to Pshutus Hakasva v'Pshutus Hamikra, he does it in accordance with what is needed for explaining the Pshutus Hamikra. The Tmiya in them is noch starker, and the question is even more pronounced. In the Parsha from Eved Ivri and Parsha Mishpatim, there is also a Parsha in Mishpatim which talks about the sale of a Jewish slave. State over there it says in Baal Ishahu, if he is a husband of a wife, in other words, he has a wife, the yotza ishta imay, and his wife shall leave with him when it comes time to go free after 6 years. It talks about over there, so his wife shall leave with him. When Rashi is mefarish there, Rashi explains the yotza ishta imay. The same question comes up: his wife should go out with him. V'chimi hichnisa shetaytze, who brought her into slavery that she should leave from the slavery? The same question is here. Hello Magid, so the Pasuk is telling us here, Shakaina, that when you buy a slave, Chayev b'mezaynes, you also have to feed his wife as well. So we see there, Zetman Darden, as Rashi Zoktakanish Dagdomim, who Nimkar over there, it doesn't say, if he was sold, who sold his wife? He gets to the point right away. He says, who brought her into the sale? Nor Efregleicha, if Ishtay immediately goes to the wife, who sold her into slavery? V'chimi echnisa. Hein favoz, da is in unza said, there is a yemakdim im hu nimka. So why here in our said, does he say, if he was sold, who sold his sons? The Pella is Novgreser, and the question is even greater. The mocker from Maimer Rav Shimon was Rashi bring to Parashat Seinu is in Gemara. The source of Rav Shimon's, what Rashi quotes from Rav Shimon is from the Gemara. Und dorten bringt sich, as Rav Shimon hat euch gedarshen, den Pasuk von Mishpatim. And over there in the Gemara it says that Rav Shimon also explained the Pasuk in Mishpatim that we just spoke about. V'yotza ishte ima, that his wife should leave with him. in demselben Signen. Rav Shimon talks about that pasuk in the very same wording as he talks about the one in our parsha in Bahar. Amar Rav Shimon, over there it says, Rav Shimon said, Im hu nimkar, if he was sold, ishtayin mi nimkara, was his wife sold? Mikan Shrabi Chayev, and therefore goes on to say that from this we learn that the master has to pay for the wife's food as well. So Rav Shimon there does say it in the same way, and from Desdvegen, and even so, is Dortan Rashi Nishmatik dem Loshim for Remaim Rav Shimon. Over there, Rashi does not quote that part of Rav Shimon's quote, of Rav Shimon's statement, Im hu nimkar, if he was sold, who sold his wife. Nor a brengt for Mechilta, but rather he leans on the Mechilta for the way they say it, the chi mi hichnisa shetetze, who brought her into slavery, that she should be leaving now. So in other words, Rav Shimon says it in both places. In Mishpatim, Rashi doesn't quote that part of Rav Shimon's statement, if he was sold, who sold his wife? Whereas in this case, Brinktim Loshim for Rav Shimon, over here, he does quote Rav Shimon with including that introduction too. Nochmer, and one can go even further. Oich was Rashi bringt de verte bonumi machram, even these words that Rashi says, his sons, who sold his sons, is nish verstandig, also has to be understood. In Teres Kainim da bringt sich lechatchila de limut von Pasuk. In the Teres Kainim, a different medrash, it goes directly to what the Pasuk teaches. Rabbi Chayev b'mezoinus bonav, the master is obligated to feed the sons as well. On the Magdomus or Shaila Bana Mimachram, without introducing who sold his sons into slavery. Hatach Rashi, so therefore Rashi was Dargeva Perusha is nicht zu Magdom sein, the Shaila in Pasuk von der noch geben dem Teretz. So Rashi, who commonly does not introduce a question and then give the answer, then give the explanation. Typically Rashi goes straight for the explanation, without having to introduce the question. We can deduce what is bothering Rashi, but Rashi doesn't state it. Nor it says, L'chadchila b'loizdem pidishon pasuk, he immediately goes to the explanation of the pasuk without having to introduce the question. Avada gedarft onheim mitten pirush. So therefore Rashi, if the Teres Kayanim, there is a version in the Teres Kayanim has a version where it goes straight to the answer, so Rashi certainly should have quoted that one, without having to ask who sold his sons into slavery. He should have gone immediately to Mekan Shel Rabbi Chayev b'mezoinus bonav. From here we learn that the master is obligated to feed the sons. Nish zu magdem sein der Shaila mit bonav mimachrem, without introducing the question, who sold the sons. Beis, l'chayre volt me gekent maz bezayin. One could perhaps want to explain it this way, the difference between the way Rashi explains it here and the way Rashi explains it in Mishpatim. It's because the pasuk is slightly different here than it is there. In Unza pasuk, state in our pasuk, it says, Hu uvan of imay, and he shall go free, he and his sons with him. The Ribe ret euch Rashi wegen dem im hu nimkar banu mimachram. Therefore, Rashi also references him. The pasuk references him. He should go free and his sons with him. So Rashi says, I can understand, he was sold, but his sons, why are they there? Because that's how the pasuk speaks. Mashenkin and Parsha Mishpatim, whereas in Mishpatim state blois v'yatsa ishtimei, but there it just simply says his wife should leave with him. And it doesn't say he shall leave and his wife along with him. As the on dem word who, without saying he and his wife, zokt Rashi b'loiz v'chimi yichnisa. Therefore, Rashi also skips him and goes straight to the who the pasuk is talking about, the wife, and says, where did she? How did she come into the picture? Oh, but the hesbet is clownish maspik. But this explanation is not enough at all. Because Rashi writes his commentary on Torah in the briefest way possible, Rashi doesn't use poetic language, or he uses the same wording as the pasuk, and so adding words which are unnecessary perhaps in his interpretation and his commentary, because he doesn't do that. Vibald im hu nimker is nish kein pirush eif vart hu. And since if he was sold, doesn't in any way explain the word who in the pasuk. Who means he shall go free, along with his sons. But Rashi's saying if he was sold doesn't explain the word who. It doesn't explain anything about who. It's just sort of poetic, using the same back and forth, you know, the same terminology. Nor blois akdomet subanu mimachram. It's just an introduction to who sold his sons into slavery. So you could either say he was sold, or you could leave that out. That's not important. Is mimanafshich. So therefore, either way, oib de shaila banu mimachram fadat akdomet imunimkar. If the question, who sold the sons into slavery, needs that introduction, if he was sold, then you need to say that to get to who sold his sons. Then Rashi should have also said the same introduction in Mishpatim. If he was sold, who sold her? And if the question doesn't really need that introduction, which is the reason that Rashi doesn't need to bring it in Parsha Mishpatim, why then does he feel that he has to bring it here? Therefore we have to say that there is some difference, there's something essential that differentiates these two psukim. Therefore, which will explain also why. Number one, a parsha mishpatim break Rashi nishmaim Reb Shimon nor from Mechilta. Rashi doesn't quote Reb Shimon's statement in Mishpatim. He brings from the Mechilta, which is slightly different. And in our parsha, it's specific. He chooses to quote Reb Shimon's statement. The other difference would also be beparsha seinu is Rashi matik oich dem shem balamaimer. Reb Shimon, that in our parsha he chooses to tell us who is the one that said it, Reb Shimon. Mashenkin in parsha Mishpatim break nishrashi dem shem balamaimer dam mechilta, whereas over there in parsha Mishpatim he doesn't tell us who in the mechilta said it, which happens to be Reb Yitzchok. He doesn't tell us that it was Reb Yitzchok, and this is also significant, as was discussed many times, that Rashi only gives the name when it's somehow germane to explaining further, for further elucidation of what he's trying to say. So of course we're going to need to understand what is the difference between the pasuk here and the pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim. Gimel, nochat mi in the tzvei perush Rashi. Another question about these two Rashis. In Parashat Mishpatim, it's like Rashi magid akosov chaimim zaynish yishtu avonov. But there Rashi says the pasuk teaches that he is obligated to feed his wife and his sons. Even though in Parashat Mishpatim it doesn't say anything about the sons, it just says his wife shall go free with him. It doesn't even mention the sons, but Rashi adds that the sons also have to be fed. So the Mefarshim explain, the commentaries explain, Ados was Rashi is Moisim Bonov. The reason that Rashi adds Bonov is maintenish to Zogma Malentus up from them Pasuk Vyatsiyishti Imai. He doesn't mean to say that from this pasuk, where it only talks about the wife, we also learn about the sons. No, we can't learn about the sons from the fact that it says the wife. Vorem ka'omer, because as we mentioned before, the pasuk let nor vegnishta, because the pasuk is only talking about the wife. Kemen fun dem nish visen de mezainis bonus. So therefore, there's no way to be able to know that the Torah obligates him to feed the sons as well. Und wie steht die Gemara, as the Gemara says, is noch mehr al pisvare. And even more so, logically speaking, as dafke ishtai, that it's specific to the wife that he has to feed her, because a woman is more embarrassed to have to go pedal from door to door. Is Rabbi Chaibim, that's why the Torah obligates the master to feed the wife. But that doesn't apply to the children, because the children, the sons at least, which are not as embarrassed to do that, and so the master could say, go collect funds, what are you coming to me for? So therefore, from there, since the Gemara differentiates between the wife and the sons, so it can't be that Rashi is learning the halacha that he has to feed the sons from this pasuk. So he can't be saying that. nor vibal erzok dem din fum zaynis ish. Rather, the reason that he adds in the sons is because since he's already telling us the halacha that he has to feed the wife, bring to shein derech agav, so therefore he already throws in oich dem din fum zaynis banav, that it happens to be that he has to feed the sons as well. Falozen digzich, he relies from pasuk fununza seder, because further on in Parsha Bahar in our seder, we're going to have a special pasuk which teaches also that the fact that the sons also have to be fed. As in fact, the mechilta spells it out that way. The mechilta in Parsha Mishpatim, the mechilta there says, chay b'mezaynes seho b'mezaynes banav. He is obligated to feed her, the wife, and the sons as well. Even though in this pasuk it doesn't say anything about the sons, and the mechilta says shenama, because it says in the pasuk in Parsha Bahar, the yotza me'imcha hu vanavima, that he should leave he and his sons with him. So it's two separate psukim teaching two separate halachas, the wife and from one pasuk, the sons and the other pasuk. And Rashi also throws it in Parsha Mishpatim to tell you that the sons also have to be fed. So this could be an explanation why Rashi says it. But the Pirush Tzarich Yingal, but this explanation needs a lot of thought, because first of all, Levad Zeis Vosl Fiza Rashi BeParsha Saying Gedafte Mona Derech Agav Eichishtei, because if that's the case, that he tells you about the sons back in Parsha Mishpatim, then he should have told you about the wife in this Parsha. When Vyeshtei Taken Teres Kainim, as in fact the Teres Kainim does include the wife in this Parsha. Ma Rabbi Chai BeMezayneisav. Just like the master has to feed the slave himself, so also he has to feed the wife and the sons. So the Teres Kainim includes the wife in this parasha as well. So besides for that, we have another question. If the Mechilta needs to tell us, spell out, that we know that the sons have to be fed from another parasha, from another pasuk in our parasha, Hotach Rashi, Vazim Mefarash Shudushal Mikra, Un Oich Farah Ben Chomesh, so then Rashi, whose mission it is to make the psukim plain and simple to be understood even to a 5-year-old, Zichi Gedafta Zaitan, he certainly should have said that. In other words, being clear that the sons we learn from a different place, because otherwise the question the child would ask, it only says the wife. Why is he including the sons? Muzman zogn. Therefore, we have to say as loit Rashi, that according to Rashi, limita derech hapshat, which Rashi teaches the simple, direct meaning of the pasuk. Kemenye upler nemezaynes banav from mezaynes ishtei. Rashi holds that if you do the simple, direct reading of the pasuk psukim, you could know that you have to feed the sons from the fact that you have to feed the wife. Even though the Gemara says that you can't, because they're two different situations. But that's only in the way of halacha, that halacha views the psukim. But in the way Pshutush or Mikra looks at the psukim, the direct meaning would include the sons from the wife. So then the question is nishvashtandik, then why do you need another pasuk from the pasuk b'parsha saying from our parsha as Rabbi Chaim Zainus Bonov? So then why does our pasuk have to say that you have to feed the sons if we already know it from the fact that you have to feed the wife? And I'll explain later how we learn it from the wife. But the question already presents itself. If Rashi already tells us back in Parsha Mishpatim that from the fact that you have to feed his wife, it means you have to feed his sons as well, so then why do we need this pasuk in our parasha to tell us that you have to feed the sons? We could know it already from the parasha about the wife. The tmiyah is noch greser, and the question becomes even more pronounced. Rashi b'parasha seinu is medayik b'lashonai. Rashi tells us, and Rashi is very specific in the way he words things. Here he says, mikan sherabi chayim zaynes bonav. From here, in other words, from this pasuk, we learn that the master has to feed the sons. Nishim parsha mishpatim, vuazokt dem loshim maged akosov. Not like he says it in parsha mishpatim, where he doesn't say from here we learn. There he says the pasuk teaches that you have to feed the wife and the sons. Here he says from here we learn it. Rashi is madgish. Rashi emphasizes. as the limud is mikan dafke, that the teaching that you have to feed the sons comes from this pasuk in Parsha Bahar, unish von ander another, not from another place, like let's say in Parsha Mishpatim. Kumtoi, so therefore it would seem as the tzvei pirusha rashis ein vestiras elozed, that these two rashis seem to contradict each other. On the one hand, he is learning it from the fact that you have to feed the wife. On the other hand, he tells us, no, we learned it from this pasuk. So which one is it? So we'll understand this by first focusing on another point of interest in the way Rashi words it in our parsha. Rashi begins his commentary by saying, "Imhu nimkar," if he was sold in a passive way, v'loshen nifal. And then he concludes, who sold the sons? That's Beloshim Peril, that's in an active way. Who is the one that sold them? Here, about him it says, he became sold. In other words, in a passive way. Rashi should have been using the same wording in both cases. Either he should say, who nimkar, if he became sold, banav min nimkaru, were his sons sold? Nimkarim or Nimkarim. Other, or he should have said it, both of them to be active. Other, im hu macharatme, if he sold himself, bon of mi machram, who sold them. But why does he split it into a passive? Starts with a passive and then goes to an active. The pella is no aggressor, in them is no aggressor, and the question here is even greater. In Gemara is taked aloshen, the Gemara in fact does say it. Im hu nimkar banav minim karim, if he was sold, were his sons sold? Both of them passive. When Rashi is mishana, Rashi changes from the lashon, from the way the Gemara says it, and zav banav min machran, who sold the sons? In other words, who did the selling of the sons? And it changes it to an active from the original passive. The Gemara uses both passive, so why does Rashi change it? The bir vazeh, so the explanation is, al derech halacha kenisht an av fakayif b'noya kodin al zevet. Halacha does not permit, the Torah does not permit a father to sell his sons into slavery. V'yimen learned up from Pasuk, as the Pasuk teaches, v'chiyim ker ish es bitoy, it does say in Parsha Mishpatim, if a man will sell his daughter, so from this we learn, ha ish meicher es bitoy, a father can sell his daughter, but he cannot sell his son into slavery. And the far nutz the Gemara dem loshem bonav minim karim, and that's why the Gemara uses his sons who sold them. It doesn't mean who sold them. It means can they even be sold? They don't. They're not even able to be sold. Siden venezei b'chlau fakayvta. Are they able to be sold altogether? In other words, it doesn't even apply the idea of his sons being sold. They can't be sold into slavery. So that's how we would see it from the perspective of halacha, which is what the Gemara deals with. Al derech pshat aber, but when you look at the direct meaning pshat of ken men from pasuk v'chiyim ker ish es bitoy la'am nish medayek zayn bitoy unish b'noy, from that pasuk that says, and if a man will sell his daughter into slavery, you can't necessarily expound from that, deduce from that, that only a daughter can be sold into slavery and not a son. Because that parsha happens to be dealing with what happens if a man sells his daughter, so the laws that pertain specifically to a girl being sold, when she goes free, if he wants to propose marriage, the master, and so on. So it talks only about a woman, a girl being sold. And that's why it says in the Farshteid Bita, that's why it says a daughter, because it happens to be talking about a daughter, but it doesn't necessarily eliminate that the same could apply in certain circumstances to a son. But the fact is that according to Pshat, you can also interpret that a son can also be sold into slavery. There's no way to eliminate it from the fact that it says Bita. Kenafakaifni can sell a son too. Valsizn shtok kein tam al derech Pshat, because at least from the direct meaning of the psukim, there's no reason to make a difference between a son and a daughter. If you could sell your daughter, why can't you sell your son as a temporary slavery? We have to understand that this is only for a short period. Und bitte kann er verkaufen und nicht benoi. As bitte kann er verkaufen und nicht benoi. There's no reason to, there's no logical reason to explain that you can sell your daughter, but you can't sell your son. So therefore, from the pshat perspective, you don't eliminate the fact that the son can be sold. Well, my high time, and for this reason, is Rashi Mishana from Loshna Shas. That's why Rashi changes from the way the Gemara says. And Zok Nish Minim Karim, he doesn't say, who can they be sold? Because yes, they can be sold. Why shouldn't they be able to be sold? No, because we said that in the Gemara, he means to say, can they even be sold? There is no selling of a son. So Rashi doesn't accept that. Nor, so he has to change it to Mi Mochram. Who sold them in this case? The father sold himself. He didn't sell his sons. Not that they can never be sold. Well, derech pshat, can me fakayfim bona? Because according to pshat, one could sell his son also. The shaila is nor Mi Mochram. The question is only, but they weren't sold in this case. It only talks about the father being sold, selling himself. So why are they leaving? That's the question that Rashi is posing, and not the Gemara's question, which is, can they even be sold? Hey, al pizeh, so based on this, vet oich zayin verstandig darichas loshen Rashi, we can now understand why Rashi goes on and elaborates more. Im hu nimkar, why he adds the words, if he was sold. Rashin seine Schwer nicht nur die Werter ubonavimai, because Rashi doesn't have a problem with the words in the Pasuk and his sons with him. That's not the only question that he has. Nor euch dem Wort hu. Rashi also questions, why does the Pasuk say, v'yotza me'imcha, he shall leave from you, he and his sons with him. Why does he add the word he? Was the fad is a matik euch dem Wort von der Dibra Maslow. And since he has a problem with that word who as well, that's why he includes it in the, that's why he pulls that quote from the Pasuk, who uvanavimai, it quotes that word as well, because he's having a problem with that word too. L'chayre is the word who in Pasuk Iberik, because Rashi's problem is, why is the word who necessary in the Pasuk? Eshtetach v'yotzo imimcha, the Pasuk says, he shall leave from you. So we know that it's him. Should have simply said, he shall leave from you with together with his sons. He doesn't have to say he and his sons. So why does it say he? Folkminge can't learn, and so therefore one can explain it this way. As beparsha seinavus retzach veg michiyom achicha, that in our parsha, one would want to explain this in this way. In our parsha talks about a man becomes destitute. Meint de teure mit hu van of imay zum rama sein zwei mitziesen. So because we're talking about a person selling himself into slavery because he became destitute, so there are two ways in which this can be, this two scenarios which could be happen in this way, in this case. One is, the yotza me'imcha, he shall leave from you, retin falvin arhat fakayv bloizich alein al zebet. That's one scenario, which is, he sold himself into slavery. Only himself. So the Pasuk says, he shall leave from you. Enough said. Then he goes on to say, but there's another scenario. Then the Pasuk goes on to give a second scenario. Who uvan of imay? There's also a scenario of he together with his sons. Ret wegen afal when the yom chachicha is oif azoy vayt, that when he became so destitute, bizar zusammen mit sich verkauft eure seine Kinder, that not only did he have to sell himself into slavery, but he had to sell his sons into slavery as well. Bonav ubnoisav, his sons, his daughters, his children, unoif dem zog the Torah. And therefore the Torah now follows up and says, as ven es kum shnasa yevil, that when the yevil comes, v'yotza me'imcha, then he shall leave. That's one scenario, if he sold only himself. Oy, or, it doesn't say in the Torah oy, but that's the second scenario, hu vanavima, in the case where he sold himself and his sons, so it means him and his sons should go free. That's one way that we could interpret this pasuk. And that, of course, explains why the pasuk says hu uvanavimai. That's why it explains also the word hu, why it's brought in. And this is what Rashi is trying to tell us, that this is not the way it should be understood. That is not what the pasuk is trying to tell us. Im hu nimkar, but Rashi says it by saying, if he was sold, bishlema hu, we can understand what the pasuk says, he, shteitem pasuk vegen befeirish v'nim kolach, because the pasuk did spell out, and he will sell himself to you. So now we can understand, he should go free. The pasuk's talking about him selling himself free. But the Torah didn't say anywhere, at least not explicitly, that his sons were sold into slavery. Where does it say that he sold his sons into slavery? As the pasuk that the Torah now has to tell you that if he sold them into slavery, they too should go free. The Torah never said that he sold them into slavery. That's what Rashi is saying. If he was sold, that we have in the pasuk. But who sold them? Did the pasuk never mention that he sold his sons into slavery? So then why does the Torah have to say that? They should go free. So that's good for this parasha. But in parasha Mishpatim, where over there it says, and his wife should go free with him, as on the vort who, without the pasuk saying he should go free along with his wife. Over there he has no need to say what Reb Shimon said, that if he was sold, who sold her? So in other words, Rashi there's nothing there to trigger this thought. He sold himself, yes, we know that, but who sold his wife? That, because the pasuk doesn't say he with his wife, it just goes straight to the wife. So therefore, the question simply becomes, what's she doing there? That's it. Without making the distinction, we know about him, but we don't know about his wife. In that pasuk, it doesn't say anything about him, so therefore the question goes straight to the wife. But in this pasuk, where it says, in our parasha, where it says, he and his sons with him, so the question is, yes, we know about him, the Torah said about him, but whoever said anything about the sons being sold? If them and for Rashi, so therefore Rashi says that the possible explanation is not the explanation. The explanation is this: Mikan Shirabi Chayim Mezainis Bonav. We're not talking about where he sold his sons. He didn't sell his sons. From here we learn that the sons have to be fed along with the father. As mithu banavimai, that when the Torah says he together with the sons, retnish the Torah veng yetziyah lechet, is not talking about that they should go free, they were never sold, nor veng dem din for mezainis, it's addressing the question of the fact that he has to feed them. In velchen rabbi is mechoyah, because the master is obligated to feed his sons as well. Vos benegei lezeh, zayin noich bonavimai b'shus rabbi, and in this sense, the sons are also in the jurisdiction of the master, only in terms of feeding them. So they now go, now they leave. He doesn't have to feed them anymore from then on. When we bow, as in the Chiyav Mezainis von unser Pasuk, is da Chiddush euch legabe dem Eved Gufa. And since in the fact that the master has to feed even the slave himself, there is something novel that is being taught here, as will be explained soon. So therefore, zog the pasuk nishnor banavima. Therefore, the Torah is telling us not only that the sons leave the jurisdiction of the master in terms of eating, feeding them, the chiyuv eich mezain is banav, nor eich hu, but the Torah is also telling you that the master has to feed the slave too. That's not a given, as we'll soon explain. But since it's not a given, so the Torah tells you in regards to feeding them, he now leaves the master's jurisdiction, doesn't have to feed him anymore, and the sons also leave the master's jurisdiction. And that's why it says who, that he goes and leaves the master, he doesn't have to feed him anymore, as well as his sons, he doesn't have to feed them anymore. Vav, the chilik from the tzei psukim, the mishpatim of the parasha seinu, hachin rashi gizok dem parasha mishpatim, the difference between these two psukim, the one in Mishpatim and the one in our parsha, Rashi already explained it in Parsha Mishpatim. As the parsha von Eved Ivri dort ret wegen an Eved was is machru bez migne vasi. In Parsha Mishpatim is talking about someone that was sold into slavery because the Beis Din sold him into slavery because he stole something. He doesn't have the money to repay, and therefore they sell him into slavery to pay off the debt for the things that he stole. Mashengi the Parsha Eved Ivri Nunz of Sedra, whereas in our Sedra, what is he talking about? Retveg Namoicher Atzmim Neidochke is talking about somebody who sells himself into slavery because he's destitute. As the pasuk explicitly says, if he will become poor, and he will sell himself to you. So that's a general distinction between this parasha and mishpatim. The fun kumtaro is achilik ikri inem geder achiyah funem adon su geb mezaynus leishti abonav funem eved. And based on that difference of why is he there to begin with, why is he a slave to begin with, there is a fundamental difference in how we see the master's obligation in feeding the family. It's very different if a person sells himself into slavery or if the Beis Din sold him into slavery in terms of does he have to feed the wife and the children as well. Then ein avert vakoyv durch Beis Din shelo b'rtzeinu, if somebody is sold against his will by the Beis Din into slavery, like tzitzong there, it stands to reason as Beis Din bavorin ditzrachem v'zayne b'nei bayis, that the Beis Din who took away the father, the earner, the one that feeds them, now the Beis Din took him away from the family and is sold him into slavery, who's going to feed the family? So it makes sense, it stands to reason that the Beis Din has to carry that responsibility. Das heißt, in other words, das was teure is mechayv dem odem bim zaynish ishtay is, in other words, why does the Torah say that the master has to feed the wife, as explained in Parsha Mishpatim? Nish solid and teyelas was the id the odin had durch them was ishtay shal eved is lebn dem eved. It's not so much. One could say it's beneficial. It's a benefit to the master that the slave should have his wife alongside with him. She's there to help him. It's always better when he has his wife with him. It serves the master's purpose as well. He's got a happy camper. Muzi is an Eze Kenegde, she's there to help him and what he needs. She does those things which a wife usually provides for her husband, whether it's food or sewing or whatever it is, or there's halachic issues of what a wife needs to do for her husband. So it's not so much about that the Torah says, well, she's working for you too in a sense, because she's keeping, you know, she's keeping the family structure, which makes the slave happy, he can do work better. That's why the Torah says that he should feed her too. That's not the reason. Nor rather what the reason is. Thus is adin oiv Beis Din. This is something that the Beis Din is obligated to arrange. Azei muzum bavarin nedzarchei isha. The Beis Din, because they took away the earner, the one that is obligated to feed the wife, therefore, what are they doing about the wife's food now? The man, which generally is done by the husband feeding the wife, on the far ret of Beis Din v'lchatchila mit nodnin. That's why the Beis Din must put it into the conditions of the sale with the master, as a musgeb mezonis ishta, that he has to provide his wife, the wife, with food. Ubemela is moving bapashtas. Therefore, it's self understood as mad doch Beis Din bavarim mezonis ishta, that if the Beis Din has to even provide, make sure that the wife is provided for, Vazi can gain arbet num bashpeisen sich, which technically speaking, she could get a job and take care of her own food. And yet we say no, the Beis Din has to make sure that she gets fed by the master. Is doch kolshkin v'kal b'chemes, how much more so that they would have to take care of, as Beis Din muz bavarim, as einus bonav, that the haktanim, that the Beis Din has to provide for the children, the young children. If the wife who could do work on her own, we say no, the Beis Din has to take care of it, how much more so the children? Was kenen ish tarbeten, that they can't work. And the father's Rashi meisim is einish vishtei abonim. And that's why Rashi says the master is obligated to feed the wife and the children, because if the wife they have to feed, the Beis Din have to take care of course the children have to be fed also. What are they going to do without their father providing food? So that's all true when he was sold into slavery against his will. But when a person sells himself into slavery, in which the sale is both of them agree to it. The master that buys him and the one that sells himself are both agreeable. Nishva bunim et bezin has nothing to do with the bezin. Hot bezin nishva submission zich. So bezin has no jurisdiction there. They have no reason to get involved in this situation. Machayev zayn dem odin sugevim zayn esish to ebanu. The bezin is not going to step in now and say, you have to feed this one or that one or don't have to feed. They made a deal between themselves. What does the bezin have to do with that? So for this master, you can't just get, take it for granted that the master has to feed his whole family. If they didn't make this condition precondition, so then now you want to bring your whole family on board, I should feed everybody? We didn't talk about this. The family has no connection to the master, as Erzol Zaymachoyev says, that he should be obligated to feed them. So therefore one could say, as by Meicher Atzmei, that when a person sells himself into slavery, it's up to the father, the one who sold himself into slavery. You figure out what your family is going to do. Or they'll be together with all the other poor people in the city that don't have food, and so the community takes care of them. That's what happens to the poor people. So either the father has to make some arrangement, or they become like the rest of the people that the community has to support, and that's what will happen. But it's not the master's problem. I've demzok teira, so therefore the teira comes along and says, Ubon of imai. His sons along with him. Mikan, from this we learn, Shirabi Chaibim Zainus Bonov, that the master does have to feed them, the children. Das is a chidush din b'teira, that this is something that the Torah, a novel, a new idea that the Torah introduces. As a filu by Meicher Asma, that even if he sells himself into slavery, is Rabbi Chaibim Zainus Bonov, the master has to provide for the children as well. Even though there's no logical reason to say that has to be the master's problem. The Torah says, no, I'm making it your problem. You have to provide for them as well. And it's mikan, it's from here that we know, because you can't learn it from the Meicher, the Machru Bezdin. You can't learn it from what happened back in Parshas Mishpatim, that the Bezdin sold him into slavery. That's a different situation. Of course, there, where the Bezdin had to make that arrangement. But over here, What does the master have to do with this? So the Torah says, no, I'm putting you in charge of their food. Zayin. The mitzvah menoich fashtein. By this, now we can also understand was the pasuk is madgish, that the pasuk emphasizes who uvonavimai, he and his sons. So now the question becomes, what's he doing here? In the original explanation, which Rashi rejects, we could have explained that as he wanted, the Rashi said, or was intimating, that one could explain that who is one situation, and that, or mi'imach is one situation, and then if he sold himself and his sons, but that's not the case. So then what's the who doing here? So the explanation is, while in dem fal von meich rasim, because in the case of where he sells himself, is euch das, was der evet bakumt mezenis von Rabbi Achidus, even the fact that the slave himself gets fed is also a novel idea, not to be taken for granted. Sizdan or tzazogim, because one could say, it would stand to reason to say, as that Odin is nishmuchoyiv to give them evet kaimizena, that the master does not have to feed his slave. Favozal azay muchoyiv to give them evet mer viful mat abgiret lachatchila. Why should he have to provide food in addition to paying him for his service? I'm paying you, I'm hiring you for the next 6 years, and this is the amount that we agreed. Here's the money. Food? I never said that I'm going to give you food. Here's another. We had a deal of how much I'm going to pay you. As a sultan fazanadus, I'm going to pay you this and this much for the 6 years of service, and the food is your problem. And certainly one could say it's reasonable to say, as the Odin is yaitzim it geben them eved lechem tzara mayim lachatz, that the master could say, listen, I'll feed you, but I'll feed you basic bread and water, enough for you to work. und der Rebbe soll haben keich zu, der Rebbe soll haben keich zu arbeiten, just so enough that you have the strength to work, you know, but I'm not feeding you regular normal meals, aber nicht mehr, nothing more. That's why the Torah has to say in this pasuk who ubanavima. Here in this pasuk, where the context now is about who has to be fed, so the pasuk has to add that the slave himself leaves the jurisdiction of the master in regards to no longer having to feed him, and including also the sons, that he doesn't have to feed them either. But why does it say who? Because the Torah has to say you must feed him. As Rabbi is chay b'mezainus al derech haragel, that the master has to feed him a normal meal, not just basics or not at all. Ches al pi anal is moving. Now we can understand what Rashi b'pashas saying is nishmeisiv ishtay. Why Rashi over here doesn't add the word ishtay, his wife? Although in Mishpatim he did say ubanav, but here he doesn't add ishtay. Al derech has meisiv banav b'mishpatim. While pshutus al mikra zeh that nisht. Because in the looking at it from the pshuta, the simple direct meaning of the pasuk, nowhere in this pasuk does it hint about the wife. It's not talking about the wife if you have to feed her or not. If you just logically in the parsha mishpatim where he says you have to feed the wife, so over there. Logic tells you if the bezin have to arrange for the wife, of course they have to arrange for the children. But over here, there's no reason to say that the wife has to be included in this. Why? By somebody that sells himself into slavery, which is in our parsha, from the fact that you have to feed his sons, nisht upland and if mezainis ishta, you can't necessarily deduce, include that you have to feed the wife as well. Meken zogma, because one could say reasonably, adosos rabbi chayv mezainis bonav, that the reason that the Torah makes it the business or the obligation of the master to feed his children, chotch mitzad atzmei voltenish gedav tzayin mechuyev, even though logically speaking one could say that why should he be responsible? But the Torah says, no, you are responsible. But when is that? Is Norval the Torah at Brahmanas of the Kinder, because the Torah is looking after these children, Nebuch, they're young children, what are they supposed to do? So the Torah says, you have to feed them, they're children. Mashenkin Ishtar, but when it comes to the wife, which could take care of her own needs, is Rabbi Funamecharas Minishchaibzainas. So therefore it's not necessarily true that just because he has to feed the children, he has to feed the wife as well. Therefore Rashi doesn't include it that the wife has to be fed. Because we're talking about a Mecharatsmay. So she can get a job. The children can't get a job, but she could get a job. Gami Yeshlaimer, another approach could be as Eichlushitas Rashi Bepirusha al Taira, that even according to Rashi in the simple Pshat, is Rabbi Chayv Mezainis Ishtay Fulba Mecher Atzmei. The master has to provide for the wife as well. Vibalder Oden Hotta Tayelus Fundem Vas Eichse Eved is Zusammen mit Eved. Because as we said before, the master also gains from the fact that the wife is along with her husband, and he gets a better product out of the husband. Obamele is Minastam Der Oden. And therefore one could say reasonably that the master understands that he's going to have to feed the wife if he wants her there living in his house together with her husband. But as we said before, das ist nicht ein Inyan was man lernt ab vom Bonov. But that's not something that you're learning from the fact that the sons have to be fed. This is a completely independent direction of thought. The children have to be fed because who's going to feed them? The wife has to be fed because the master gains something from them. So we don't learn it from the fact that the children have to be fed. Vorum von Bnei Eved Aktanim hat nicht der Oden kennt die Elis, because from the children the master has no benefit from them at all. Therefore, he on his own would not include the children in this agreement. Why should he feed the children? Nor says I need the talib svarav. So therefore, it's something which is a svarav. The fact that he has to feed the wife is a logical thing. That's all. Not we don't learn it from the fact that the Torah obligates the master to feed the children. So then he has to feed the wife as well. No, it doesn't come from there at all. It's a completely independent thinking from that we would come to the conclusion that he should feed the wife. Other or another approach, we learn it from the fact that the Bezdin, a guy that's a Bezdin sells, have to provide, make sure that the wife is provided for. So this particular detail is learned from there. We see by the Machru Bezdin that we don't say she could take care of herself, she's an adult, take care of yourself. We don't say that. We say that the Bezdin have to make arrangements for her. Is Bezdin machriyeg dem odn zu speisen, that the Bezdin forces the master to feed her. So therefore the same would apply also by the one that sells himself. As the odn muz ir geb mezaynis mitzadim teyelos vazarat fun ir. And therefore the same would apply also to the one that sells himself, because the master does in the end get benefit from the fact that she's there. Kenzich nishpater midem tainaz zol zichalein shpaisen, and therefore we don't allow him to say let her take care of herself, she's an adult, she can take care of herself. We learn this small detail from the Machru Bezdin. Machru Bezdin forces the wife, the master to feed the wife. So here too we could learn from there, it stands to reason that by when he sells himself also, we expect the Adam to feed him, because in the end he benefits from it. Tess, a Talmud memulach kena befregen, but a gifted student could still ask the following question. Sof, in the end, favos is der Adam chai b'mezaynis banav, why should the master be obligated to feed the children? He has no connection to them. He has no benefit from them. They don't work. They don't do anything for him. Why is it his fault that the father sold himself to him as a slave, that he has to now take on the whole family? That he should have to provide for them, the master. Dinam darvzayim vi alla ander aniyim vasin shtotze. They should be treated like any other poor person in the city. There's a charity fund that feeds the needy, and that's where they should get their food. Why does he have to pay? Even though the Torah tells us that he does, but the question is why? Is Rashi meramiz dem teretz durch bringing them shem balamayim? So Rashi alludes to the answer to this question of the gifted child by telling us who said it, Reb Shimon, that it was Reb Shimon that said it. Vosol shitosei is dos fashtandik. If you understand Reb Shimon, you understand that this makes sense. Reb Shbi zokte mesechta bo bebasra. The Reb Shimon Yochai says, which is the Reb Shimon that we're talking about, says in mesechta bo bebasra, kol she'ene maniach ben li yarshoi, anyone that does not leave a son to inherit him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mole olav evra, Hashem is filled with anger against that father. From Loshon Rashbi is verstandig. From the way he words it, it seems as eretnish wegen dem einish vanish mekayim zayim mitzvah pruervu. But he's not talking about over here that a person went through life and he never had children, which is a mitzvah. The Torah obligates a person to have children, and he didn't do it, and that's why Hashem is angry at him. That's not what is going on here. Nor ered wegen dem prat li yorshei. He puts it in terms of if he doesn't leave a son to inherit him, then Hashem is angry at him. Ben a mensch lost iber a ben li yorshei. If a person leaves a son to inherit him, is das goydem hepech for molly evra. That causes the opposite of being angry at him, which means simcha. Hashem rejoices. He left a son to inherit him. The name goes on. The family heritage goes on, and so on. By Meibish Miso, Hashem is happy. By Meilevet Mali Evrav and Felda Ben Liyarshan. Therefore, conversely, if he doesn't leave a son to carry on the family tradition, so then Hashem is angry. Loit Rashbi, in other words, it's about something carrying on the tradition. That seems to be the issue. Rashbi puts it in those terms. Leit Rashbi is the Adgosha in Kinder as Zolzain Ben Liyarsha. According to the way that Rashbi puts it, the emphasis is on that somebody should take over the father. Kam Tachas Aviv, he stands in the place of his father, he takes over his father. Der Avu Ben Zainen Ein Hemshach, which in other words is saying that a father and a son are one continuum. The father starts, the child is born, he teaches him, and then he takes over. It's one continuum. Biz a metzias, even more so, they become one entity. The father and the son are one entity. When das is zeich bebir, favas rabbi is chayvim zayin is banav. That's the reason why the Torah says that the father has to, the master has to feed also the sons, the children. That's because he's feeding them because they are an extension of their father, not because they're needy, because they are an extension of their father. That's why he has to feed them. Just like the master has to feed the father, the slave, so also he has to feed that element of the father which is found in the bonav. The father and the son are one entity, so there is a part of the father in the son. If he has to feed the father, he has to feed the son, because that feeds the father element of the son. They're seen as one package. Now, Pisa Yumtug, and this also explains Ivdem Hemshech in Pasuk, the continuation of this Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, V'yotza, he shall go mi'imach, free from you, hu vanavima, him and his sons, ve'elachuzas avaysav yoshuv, and he shall return to the heritage of his father. The slave shall return to the heritage of his father. Why is that added in the Pasuk? Other places where it says this, it's talking about a land sale. If somebody sells the family heritage, the piece of land that they own in Eretz Yisrael, which every family owns, and he had to sell it, so then by Yovel it returns the family heritage, the land that belongs to the family comes back to the original owner. So there it makes sense, achuzas. The heritage means the piece of land, but over here we're talking about the person himself. So what he's saying is that the father and the sons are, for this matter, in this matter, one entity. So the slave, just like the son is a part of the father, so also the father, the slave, is a part of his father, and therefore he returns to the heritage of his father. And that's why the Torah makes it about, this is a family issue. There's a grandfather, his son sold himself into slavery, the son has to go back and become part of the father's heritage, and the son also is a part of the father's of his father's heritage, the slave, and therefore you have to feed him. It's all part, there's all, we're all talking about one family entity here. Well, Pisa Yumtag, and this also explains so much rich in a more rich way, Vasrashi Taich Pshutish Lomika, that Rashi explains the simple meaning, the direct meaning of this word, Velachuzus Avaisav, to the heritage of his father. Rashi says it means Al Kovid Avaisav, to the honor of his father. Shame Vimen Tarnished Uptail Nam Evifun Zaini Kinder, just like you're not permitted to separate the slave from his children, which if you didn't feed his children, so then they wouldn't be able to live with the slave. That would be the result of not feeding them. They have to go somewhere else to be fed. So also the slave should not be separated from his father. And that's why he returns to the family glory. The family unit is reunited, comes together again, of course, at the end of the slavery term. Yud. From the Indianum of Floyim al Derech HaRemez and Pirush Rashi. From the things, the extraordinary things that we see in the Rashi in this case. In other words, things which are underlying what Rashi says. That inu from Verif HaKayft al Eved is HaRemez of Inin HaGolus. The idea of being sold as a slave is an allusion to the Golus, that the Yidden are sold into slavery. Zog the Pasuk, so the Pasuk says, Asayder Av and Asayder Bonav, it's both the father and the children, Saika B'yochal Ovidim Shebeshamayim, which means both Hashem in heaven, Hashem himself, und Sai Eden, and also the children, the Eden, for seinen Bonim Lamokim, which are the children of the Hashem, seinen Avek and Golos, both went into Golos. Kamaim Rashbi, as Rashbi again says, Chavivim Yisrael of Nekosh Baruch Hu, the Yidden are so dear to Hashem, Shebachol Mokim Shegolos, Shechinah Yimayim, wherever the Jews went into exile, Hashem went along with them. He also went into exile with them. If them bring Rashi, Maimer Rav Shimon, so Rashi says in regards to this what Rav Shimon said, for some halt noch aggressor in Uftu, which brings out an even greater degree of this commitment. Nishnor, as kol makom shugol Yisrael Shechina imam. Not only is it that wherever the Yidden went into Golus, the Shechina came along with them, nor adarabah, to the contrary, imhu nimkar banav mimachrim. If he was sold, how could they be sold? What does that mean? If to say that Hashem could sell himself into Golus, that's understood. He does whatever he wants. While Er is Kol Yochel, he can do whatever he wants. Therefore, it's possible for him to place himself into a context of Golus, but yet the Golus should not change him. He remains unchanged. He's not affected by the Golus. That's possible for Hashem. So it's how harmful is it if he goes into Golus? But his children, the Yidden, Mimachram, how could he sell them? If he came off a kaif and bottom, how could you sell the Yidden, not Yidden in Golus? Oib Golus atashlita, if a Yidden, if Golus has a control of a Yid, kendoch ba'em nishtein begoloi, as has been a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then it's no longer apparent, at least obvious, that the Jew is a son of Hashem. He's under the control of the Goyim, under the control of the nations, and so on. All the difficulties, we lose that the connection between the Yid and Hashem. It's not obvious anymore. So that's the question that Rashbi poses. If he wants to sell himself into Golus Hashem, hey, fine, do whatever you want. You could tolerate it. But how can you put the Yid into Golus? Emphat Rashbi, so Rashbi answers that those was born of Zayin in Golus, that the fact that the children are in Golus is as mer nishvi zeyre. It's only in regards to their food, where they're going to be fed from, nourished from. Tzorch yaguf, the bodily needs. They go through golos, which means the Sara Medina, that their needs are provided by the angel of that country. So each country has its own, each nation has its own angel. And for some reason, they decided that the Yidden should be fed through the nation that they are in Golus by. But the neshama for Nayidin is nishvakayf, but the neshama never gets sold into slavery. Givorin in Golus chasashol kepizgim ayidu, as the well-known phrase, nor unzer gufrim zayin nebegigavim in Golus, the Friedrich ever said, only our bodies are in Golus, aber unzer neshamas hotmen in Golus nishvar trim, but our souls were not placed into Golus. When in Shibud Malchis Nisht Ibigemen, they were not given under the control of the nations of the world. The Neshama was never placed under the control of the nations. Thus, thus as is given Achorim, the fact that there was a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is as boys been again the Gashmius from the Beis HaMikdash. That was only in the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash. The Eitzim, Vavonim, the wood, the stones. The stones and the wood were on the Goyim were able to destroy that. But in the true nature of the Beis HaMikdash, the true meaning of the Beis HaMikdash Aruchni, which is the spiritual aspect of the Beis HaMikdash, as well as the Beis HaMikdash, which is within every Yid, the Beis HaMikdash was do by Yedin Eden, Hotagoy can shlitanish, that the Goy has no control of at all. In them is Nitshayach ken churm, over there is no destruction. Kemen is a one would think, as benigay, the Mizoyin is like upon him, Sarachia Guft, at least in regards to the food, the bodily needs, material needs, Hot Golus Yashlita if Yidin. So in that, at least, Golus does control what's going on to a Yid. So Firin Sechaz Vishlom Vies Kum Oiz by Nisht Eden. In other words, that the Goyim have control to do what they want with the Yidden, one would think. Zogt Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon says, Mekan Sh'Rabbi Chaya b'Mezaynus Bonav, from here we learn that the master, Hashem, is obligated to provide for the children, the material needs of the children. The Eibishta hat nor gevolt as the Mezaynus in Eden b'Zman HaGol zon durchgeinim Sar HaMedina. The only thing that Hashem wants is that it should go through the channel, it should be channeled through the nations under which they live. But the angel of that country, or certainly not the humans of that country, not even the angel of that country, has no opinion, he has no jurisdiction to say what should happen. Whether he should provide or not provide for the Yidden. And his blois kigaz miyada chaytzebay. He's merely like a tool in the hand of the master or the workman and so on. So in other words, you never think of the hammer as having to be thanked for banging the nail, doing a good job. It's the carpenter that wields the hammer. So also, the Eibishter for some reason wanted that it should go through the hammer, which is the nations of the world. But they have no control of what should happen. Hashem controls what should happen. Unochmer, even more, is mechayev zu bazorgen in becholzer es rachem agashim. Hashem obligates himself, as it says, Sh'rabbi chayev b'mezaynus. He obligates himself to provide all the material needs of the Yidden. U'bemelo akum n'idin oich b'zman ha-golos. And therefore the Yidden receive also, even in the time of golos, bona, children, chaya, health, u'mezayn revicha, and abundant and their needs met abundantly, betuba nirim anigla, in a very obvious and in an obvious good way.